Matthew chapter 8 tonight. Matthew chapter 8. And I'm probably not going to keep you very long tonight. But I'm very thankful for you being here. You know, while we're looking at that, I just want to say that I'm having a lot of missionaries calling, and you know, it's just it's kind of funny now. They're all saying, "I've got this date open. Can I come? Can I come?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. I need a little time to think about it." And but anyway, we'll see how that works out. But just be praying about that if you would. A lot of decisions to make, and I try to like to do my due diligence and at least find out some information about them. Sometimes they get a little antsy when you start asking questions and everything like that. And I guess they figure that you support missionaries from a particular missions organization or something like that that they're using, that you should accept them. But I always try to do my due diligence and ask questions and try to talk to the preachers and at least find out what the church, their sending church, actually believes and teaches before I have anybody in. So just be praying about that, that I can make the right decisions on that as far as who the Lord wants us to bring in and hear and what we can do in that regard. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, "See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer a gift, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed that selfsame hour. And Father, thank you for the word of God, and I just pray you'd use it in our hearts today, and I just pray you'd help us to see some things that we ought to see and understand. Lord, I pray you'd increase our faith. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've always liked this passage about the leper that comes to Jesus and worships him. It's always been an amazing thing. The leper comes to him, and he's not supposed to. He's supposed to stand off aside, stay downwind, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And in doing this, he's kind of violating the protocol, if you will. He's not doing what he's supposed to do according to the law. But he realizes that he only has one hope. And so, when Jesus came down from the mountain, and the mountain he came down from was a place where he was teaching, and he was up on a mountain teaching, and he come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and all these multitudes are there, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." It's always been an amazing thing. There's a crowd of people following Jesus, and all of a sudden here comes a leper. Can you imagine what the crowd did? They probably all scattered. And you know, that's the one thing about it is when people are afflicted, and leprosy in the Bible is a picture of uncleanness, it's a picture of sin. And you know, a lot of times we're like that when we see a bunch of sin and everything like that. When we see folks, we have a tendency to scatter from them. And there are biblical principles about separation, but there also ought to be principles about compassion as well. I mean, there are principles about compassion, I should say. And so just because somebody is sinful and unclean and not the type of person, we've got to get to the point where we don't look at that so much as the fact that we have an opportunity to show compassion to them. And the greatest compassion we can show to anybody is to give the gospel to them, obviously. But that doesn't mean that's all we do. But anyway, he came and he had a desire and he fell down and he worshiped Jesus. Everybody's following Jesus because of the miracles and they're there and everybody's following him. But here comes the leper and worshiped him. Now the Bible doesn't tell us what that worship entailed, doesn't tell us how he did that. He fell down, he probably fell down at his feet, bowed down to him, and all that type of stuff. You know, if you were to look at most people today, if they talk about worship, they'd be talking about music. I don't think he came and sang a song. Now, can you worship through music? Sure you can. But you cannot equate worship with music. It's deeper than that. All right? So, when we look at that, he came and he worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The leper came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He came to Jesus with full assurance of faith. He came to Jesus with not even so much a request as a statement of fact. Obviously, the request is implied. Sorry, I got an itch on my head for some reason. The request is implied there, but he just comes down and he worshiped Jesus and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I want you to think about this. I'm not going to take the time to do it. But in the Old Testament, cleansing lepers was the province of God. Now we know that Elisha had a part in healing Naaman the Syrian of his leprosy. But Elisha didn't come there and lay his hand on him and pronounce him clean or anything like that. He told him to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, right? And then he would come clean. And so he told him to do that. But under the Old Testament law, you look in there and the idea of cleansing, all of the idea of the cleansing of the leper was the work of God. And so when this man came and worshiped Jesus, when this leper came and worshiped Jesus and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, he called him Lord. He wasn't just calling him Lord after the common way. He was worshiping him. By the way, I will note very clearly that Jesus did not rebuke him for worshiping, did he? A lot of people say, Jesus never anywhere said he was God. Well, yes, he did. He did. He said it very clearly in ways that the Jews should have understood. He identified himself with, in several places, with equality with God the Father. He said, before Abraham was, I am. But he also accepted worship. And he didn't rebuke anybody for worshiping him. And so that once again shows his deity, and that shows that, and this leper recognized it. But he also came and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He humbled himself. He came before Jesus. He worshiped and said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And so there he is. He's got his request. He's bowed down before the Lord. And said, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." He said, don't tell anybody what I did. You just go and you show yourself to the priest, and you offer a gift. You offer your sacrifice to God, just as the way the law says, what you're supposed to do as a leper. You follow the law. You do what you're supposed to do. Now, there's a lot of things that are good there and good lessons for us. But the bottom line is, what he was supposed to do was just to go out and do what he was do, live his life the way he was supposed to for God. All right, he worshiped Jesus. He humbled himself. He had faith. We see the faith. If the Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's up to you. You've got the power to do it. There's no problem there. And so his leper, Jesus reached forth, put his hand on him, which for anybody else would have made them unclean. But when Jesus touched him, he made him clean. His leprosy departed, was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." In other words, he said, "Hey, you're now clean. Now go and you do exactly what you're supposed to do. You go forward and accomplish." Now, he's not going to offer the gift to be clean. He's offering the gift and he's offering the service and he's offering and he's doing what the law says because he has been cleansed. And that is the same thing for us in our life. We don't do anything in order to get clean before God. Jesus' blood is the only thing that can cleanse our sins. But nonetheless, we ought to go forward and do the things we're supposed to do. Do our best to keep the law, if you will, in the sense that it is. Now, we can't really keep the law unless we yield ourselves to the Spirit, because the Spirit of God doesn't break the law of God. So when we yield to the Spirit, we won't break the law of God so long as we're yielded to the Spirit. We will keep the law of God. And we're supposed to do that based upon the fact that we have been cleansed, and we're not doing it in order to be clean, but because we are clean by the blood of Jesus. And so, like I was talking to people in the jail, I'm not going to heaven because I'm here, a preacher coming in the jail preaching to you. I'm going to heaven because Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross for my sins. And I put my faith and trust in him. He paid the penalty for my sins. That's the only reason I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to go to heaven. All right, I could preach for hours on why I know I'm going to heaven. But the simple fact is, here he is. He comes to Jesus. He comes with that kind of faith. And I will say this for you and I. One of the things we do oftentimes is we get ourselves in trouble with God, and we listen to the lie of somehow we can never be clean, we can never overcome. But we can. But we can. There's nothing too hard for God. You can change. Try to talk to people a lot of times and they just don't feel like they're ever going to get the victory. We talked some about that this weekend, about getting the victory over sin, and we're supposed to be able to. But Jesus cleanses that way. And then we get into the very next thing about this, and I believe these two stories are put together for purpose to us. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now here you have a leper that comes and worships him. And now you have a heathen man The leper, we can presume, was Jewish. Because, why? He was going to go offer sacrifice he was commanded to go offer sacrifice, as Moses commanded. But this centurion here is a Roman soldier. So he's a Roman, he's a heathen in that regard. And he said, when Jesus was entered Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, in other words, begging him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Notice, both of them have the same idea of Jesus' authority, of Jesus' power. The leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's entirely up to you, Lord. You've got the power, you can do it. The only thing is, are you willing to do it? And here he is. The centurion says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Both of them the same way. And you know what that is called? That way of saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean, and saying, speak the word only, is faith, isn't it? That's what Jesus said. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, verse 10, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Faith. They both had genuine faith in Christ. They believed he could do anything. The leper said, the only thing between me being healed and cleansed and me not being cleansed is the will of God. And the centurion said, I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof. They both were humble. They both believed that Jesus could do exactly what they asked. He said, speak the word only. And Jesus commends him for his faith. Now he's got multitudes following him. Like I said, I can see the crowd scattering when the leper come pulling up. And a lot of times that is it. I wonder how many of them left. I just thinking about that when he said, he turned to those that followed him. He said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I'm wondering how many of them missed the cleansing of the leper because they were too worried about themselves. But I don't know anything like that. The Bible didn't tell me. That's pure speculation as to what that may happen. But I could see that happen. I could see people say, whoa, I could see some people after Jesus reached forth his hand and touched the leper saying, oh, I don't want any more to do with him. He's unclean. I mean, but we're not told that. But if you stuck around to watch, you'd see the leprosy disappear on the man. You see him cleansed. And so he's there, and now he's there in this, and Jesus is being beseeched by a centurion, and he said, I'm not worthy. I believe in one of the companion verses in the other gospel, maybe Luke or Mark, one of these two, where he came in to this, the same type of verse. I think it's the same person. I had to go back and verify that. But if we were to go to that other companion, he came and there were people around it that said he was worthy because he built the Jews a synagogue. He was obviously a pretty wealthy fella, and he had built the Jews a synagogue, I believe. I may be thinking of Jairus' daughter or something like that. I'm not sure. But in this case, he clearly said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. So we have somebody unclean and somebody who's self-pronounced unworthy. And they come to Jesus. And, you know, we understand. We get the unworthy part, right? We get the unworthy part. Where we falter is the faith part. Especially in independent Baptist circles, we get the unworthy part. I mean, we preach, we're just sinners saved by the grace of God. Right? And that's true. There's nothing untrue about that. But we're also saints, aren't we? We're the saints of God, the sanctified ones, the set apart ones, if you will. And when you look at the passage of scriptures that we're looking at, the one thing you see about both these people is you see their faith. You see their willingness, their absolute confidence in the fact that all Jesus needs to do is speak the word only. All he has to do is be willing. But their faith was tempered with humility. A lot of times we go the wrong route on this, and I just want to put this to you and want you to think about this. A lot of times, like I said, we get the unworthy part right. We got it down pat. We're good. We're preaching all the time. I mean, we're in Bible-believing churches. We preach the gospel. We preach against sin. We preach for righteousness and everything else like that, and holy living and separation and everything like that. We do that, and rightfully so. But sometimes we just don't take the entire message. We don't listen to the entire message the way we should. Because what often happens is we don't come to Jesus with the assurance of His ability and His willingness. You know, neither man had any guarantees when they came, but they fully believed that he could do it. And so they came. The leper came and worshipped. The centurion came and beseeching him, begging. A lot of times we look at our unworthiness and say, I don't deserve God's help here. Well, none of us ever deserve God's help. Do you know any person that ever deserved God's help? Did Eve deserve God's help when she became careless with the Word of God and started listening to something contrary to what she'd been instructed by her own husband? Was Adam worthy when he chose his wife over God? I mean, go all the way through. Was David worthy? Was Solomon worthy? Was Elijah worthy? Was Paul worthy? Was Peter worthy? Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Paul probably killed. Paul would have been what we call a mass murderer. Were they worthy? No, they weren't worthy. But here's the truth of as we go through the scriptures and we see these people, we see something about them. They're well aware of their unworthiness. They're well aware of their uncleanness. But their boldness to come to Jesus and beg. They wanted something and they were willing to humble themselves. They were willing to beg if they had to. They were willing to worship. They were willing to bow down. They were willing to do whatever is necessary to get themselves in a position where they could get their petition before the Lord. The crowds of people didn't stop them. So often we don't do that. People talk about revival, but we don't ask God for revival. We don't beg for revival. We don't beseech Him. Desire it, we just say, oh, we need revival. But we're not asking for it. Why are we asking for it? Why aren't we begging for it? Why don't we believe God can do it? Where's the faith? And this is what he said. He said, I've not seen some, verily I said to you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I wonder if he's saying the same thing about churches today. I hadn't found any faith there. He said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he's warning the people that are following him. He's warning them that, hey, until we see some real faith, you're in danger. There's a danger about that. And he said, many are going to come from the east and the west, and we can say, hey, hallelujah, we're in the west, amen? You know, the east would be over toward Iran and India and China and all that area, and Russia, and Russia's more to the north, northeast, but it'd be there, and the west would be Europe and the Americas and everything like that. People would come from all over. And the children of the kingdom, many of the Jews, are going to be thrust out. But could we say the same thing about churches in the United States of America today? Could this apply to us? I believe it could. Southern Baptist Church today, or yesterday, or whenever, they had a vote. And they voted. The fella came in and brought the Bible up and said, you know, talk about women in the pastoral ministry and that women shouldn't be pastors of churches, and they brought it for a vote for the Southern Baptist Convention, and the Southern Baptist Convention voted against God. They said, no, we're not going to forbid women from being pastors in our churches. Oh, and of course the people that wanted to stay with the Bible, they were looked at as, oh, just old-fashioned anti-women and all that type of foolishness and everything like that. No, that's not what it is at all. But see, we're not the type that want to cut parts of the Bible out. But I'll tell you, when we stop living by faith, it's not going to be long until we're going to be joining that crowd. When God's people stop seeing when we get comfortable in our unworthiness, in our uncleanness, and we don't want God to change us anymore, and we're not beseeching and searching and everything, we're in danger of getting to that point. When we get comfortable in our uncleanness and just say, well, you know, I like to see a little thing. I like to be excited every once in a while, and isn't that why a lot of our churches are more entertainment based, and the idea of people worshiping is, oh, gotta feel good, gotta have some good snappy peppy music and everything. And I'm not necessarily against peppy snappy music. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about substituting worship and desire for holiness and desire for righteousness. And Jesus said, like we talked about last week and last Wednesday night when we were looking at Psalm 119, Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Where's that hunger? Where's that thirst? There's the fellow there. He wants to be, he wants the servant healed. He cares about other people. And the leper wants to be clean. They acknowledge their unworthiness. They acknowledge their uncleanness. But they know that Jesus can do the job. That Jesus can give them what they need. And so what are they doing? They're worshiping. They're beseeching. They're begging. And then we right after that, those two are lifted up and their faith is commended. And then there comes the rebuke. And he tells them, many are going to be there. And they're not going to be, they're not going to, there's a lot of people that are going to come, and they're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are going to be people that, and we know it from what the Bible says, there are going to be people that say they're saved and are not saved, right? They were never cleansed. They were never born again, right? They became antichrist. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest that they were not all of us, as it says in 1 John chapter 2, when he says many antichrists are in the world. And most of those antichrists came out of the church. And that's a reality. That's a truth. And here he's warning Israel about their unbelief and the consequences of it. And we've got to get to a point to where we're not like that crowd. We're the ones that, yes, we humble ourselves and worship. Yes, we know we're unclean. Yes, we know we're unworthy. But we believe God. That means believing that God, when God says He's cleansed you, that you're clean. And when God cleanses you and sends us up, you know, we talk about 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But before that, it said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we see that. And we know these things. He says in chapter 2 of 1 John, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We get clean, we ought to just go do what God says to do. Get up and go do what God says to do. Isn't that what He told the leper to do? You're clean now. And we don't humble ourselves enough to believe God and believe that He can and believe that He will, believe that He has the power. We don't believe that He loves us enough to help us. And I'm not just talking about healing. And yes, God can heal, and we pray for healing, and we're always going to pray for healing. I wish we'd believe God could heal more than we probably do. That would probably be a good thing for us to do. To just believe God and come with full assurance of heart and everything and faith like that. But the greatest work that He can do is in cleansing us, changing us, making us what we want. But we don't want that enough. And so we don't seek the Lord enough. We don't worship Him. We don't beseech Him. We don't beg Him. Even though we're told that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, right? To find mercy and grace to help in time of need. We're told that we can do that, come boldly. We're told to cast all our care upon Him because He careth for us. We're told all of these things about our Savior. And I just want to challenge you tonight. When we look at these two people, you see faith, and their faith was 100% sure that God could do, that the Lord Jesus, our Savior, could do exactly what they were asking. They didn't have any doubt in their mind. They had faith. And they believed it so much that they went to Him and they begged Him and they worshiped Him. And you can talk all about how much you believe what you believe Jesus can. We can talk about it all we want to. I can stand up here and preach about the power of God. But if we don't get to the point where we humble ourselves and we just say, you know, it don't matter how unworthy I am, how unclean I am, it's all up to Him. He has the power. But I need it. I want it. And we start seeking We've got all the passages in Scripture about prayer, don't we? Ask, seek, knock. Right? How many messages have been preached about that one thing? How many messages preached about prayer? But the idea of preaching is to either teach people or exhort people or maybe even rebuke people, right? Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. And so whatever the case may be in this regard, we've got to get to the point where we want what God has. We want Him to actually do something in our life. We want to be clean. We want to be a help to others. We want things to change. We want this. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now this is not the name it and claim it gospel. It's not what it's talking about. As thou hast believed. Well, I believe God's going to give me this, and God's going to give me that, and I believe that I'll have prosperity, and I'll have health, and I'll have this. Nope, that's not what he said. How, as thou hast believed, how did he believe? He wasn't believing God could give him this and give him that. He was believing God that Jesus was able to speak the word only, and the servant would be healed. He wasn't asking for all these things that he was. But I will say this: for a lot of the people in the name it, claim it, health and wealth, prosperity, you know, they've latched onto an idea, and you know what? They don't let it go, do they? So before we fuss about them too much, we might want to see if we're just jealous. All those things God can give. God can give prosperity. God can give health. But we understand everything that's given in this world is temporary. We understand that. And we say, oh, we're not worried about all that stuff. All that's temporal. All we ought to have our mind on spiritual things. We ought to have our mind on heavenly things. But we don't pursue spiritual things, and we don't pursue heavenly things the way they pursue material things and earthly things. Why not? Could it be that ugly unbelief creeping in? Just something to think about tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. I just pray, Lord, you'd help me to heed the message that I preach. Father, I preach what I believe you want me to preach. And I believe I preach the truth. And Lord, I just pray you'd help me and each person here that hears this message to just open our eyes and look at ourselves and see how much we truly believe that if you will, you can make us clean. And Lord, that all you have to do is speak the word only, and it'll be done. That you have that power and that authority. And Lord, that we believe it. But not just believe that it's so, Lord, but believe that you're good. And desire these things. So that we would not cease worshiping and beseeching you to help us. To be the type of people that live by faith and not wallow in unbelief. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.